Hi everyone, this is Dave Charest, Content Manager here at Constant Contact, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Today we're going to be talking about how to use Twitter to market your business, and we have a special guest with us, but before I let her introduce herself, I'm drinking a St. Pauli girl.
Sad. It's very sad.
It's actually not that
bad. I
don't
think I'd admit that.
It's better than
Family
Bud Light. Yes, well, there we go.
And I'm Kelly McCarthy, the special guest. I'm a customer training specialist here at Constant Contact, and I am drinking a Whale's Tail Pale Ale.
Very nice. Nice
name.
I'm Josh Mendelson. I'm a marketing guy for Single Platform, and I'm drinking Sierra Nevada Ruthless Rye IPA. It's good. Never had it before.
I love how you've made that your official title now. Marketing guy.
I know.
You have to say, like, hey, I'm a marketing guy.
I'm testing
somebody. Somebody probably has that trademarked and
yeah,
you don't
probably.
Know it. I'm Kristen Curtis, social media specialist, and I'm drinking a Midas Touch, which is Josh's apparent favorite beer.
It's in the top five.
I'm Azure Collier, social media education developer, and I'm sadly drinking a Diet Coke.
Ooh.
They didn't have anything I wanted.
I'm Danielle Cormier, and I'm a social media specialist, and I'm drinking a Corona. Wishing it's summer.
Yeah,
see, I couldn't find
time.
The Corona. That's what I wanted to get.
It was in the fridge.
Dang. Anyway, once again, thank you so much for joining us. So how do you use Twitter to market your business? So I guess if we're going to be talking about that, the first thing we should probably mention is, I don't know, Josh is making weird movements. But what is Twitter? So does anybody want to take a crack at that?
Callie?
Oh, well, Twitter is what we like to call a microblogging real-time service, 140 characters or less, where you can really say what's on your mind. But most importantly, businesses can use it to really advocate for themselves and connect with their customers on a more personal level.
All right, so, you know, as a consumer, I love Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. I think I sadly, for better or worse, I don't know if it's sad, I get 95% of my news from Twitter. I use it when I'm watching TV, to follow along with shows that my wife isn't watching, so I can't talk to her about it. There's a lot
like
of great personal... No, she loves the best. So there's a lot of great personal uses for Twitter. I think that's a relatively easy concept for people to understand. But I think for businesses, it can be a little bit of a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
There's... Like any social media, there's sort of fighting the urge to be overly self-promotional. You're not sure exactly how to interact with people because it is a one-to-many platform, but at the same time, it's easy to have one-to-one conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of challenges for Twitter, and one of the biggest ones is, like, if you don't do it, you're never going to figure it out. It's really hard to educate people on how to use Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a trial and error mechanism.
I would say one really great thing about Twitter is it's actually a very good customer service platform.
That's what I was thinking.
I've actually used it myself for a couple of things that I've gone through. Tried to call the business. The line was busy, busy, busy. I sent a message to them via Twitter, and I got it right away. And I think that that's really great for small businesses as well, and because you actually have the opportunity to answer every single one of those questions, where a lot of big businesses do a pretty poor job at doing that.
Do you guys feel, so it's interesting you talk about customer service, because I've had, as a consumer, great customer service, and I wonder, that's a really hard thing to staff for as a business. You know, community management ends up being sort of a 24/7 job, and I know one of the things that small businesses always wonder is, like, how quickly do you need to respond to someone on Twitter? Is it okay to respond the next day? So I don't know if you
guys... I think it's important to respond right away, and if you don't know the answer, say... We saw your tweet. We're going to check this out and get back to you. As long as you're acknowledging that you're working on it. Otherwise, they're sitting there going, I guess they didn't get it.
Right away in the context of when they saw it. I mean, because I feel like it's more important for you to answer them 2 days later than see it 2 days later than after they sent it to you and then go, oh, well, it's been 2 days now. I'm not going to answer you. So.
I think it also really depends on the nature of the business, right? Something's going on with my throat here. but it also kind of depends on the nature of the business is that, you know, if you're like a small coffee shop, and I mean, if you're just like a one-man operation and you're doing or you're a service organization, like it's really going to depend on like it's a difference between being like Verizon, let's say, then like obviously you're going to want to expect, you're going to expect to get somebody right away, whereas if it's like a just one-man shop, like you... may not expect to get it right away. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think
well,
it
think
really
if you,
depends.
If you want to try to answer people, you should set things up on your smartphone and get alerts. If that's something
mm-hmm.
that you want
yeah.
to be good at, it's getting back to people. And then you can see whether it's, check the tweet that came in and if you need to get to that right
away. I would say that 24 hours would be a good time frame, really, to aim for it to be
yeah.
fastest. And you can mm-hmm. set it up so you get a daily digest from Twitter sent to your phone or have the alerts on your phone or use NetShell Mail. So it's an easy way to catch up with all of the questions at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things that I experienced in the last week, and the liquor store opened in my town, you know, all over the store, there's find us on Facebook, there's their Twitter handle. So I tweeted and I mentioned them saying how excited I was that they were open and welcome to the neighborhood. And I heard nothing back. And I don't really care, but it feels like if you're going to promote your Twitter handle, you have
yeah.
to use
yeah.
it.
It sort of
yeah.
rubs you the wrong way
yeah.
when you get nothing back and you mention them.
Well,
in a positive way.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool when you mention a big brand, though, and they get back to you. I've had conversations with DSW a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
which has been awesome.
I never get the free shoes on
Friday. I know.
Well, Danielle, you just had a great kind of Twitter experience, didn't you?
Yeah, actually, I got some flowers on Valentine's Day, and
aww.
I knew they were from 1-800-Flowers. And
I thought they were from your boyfriend.
Yeah, but that's what he used. And 3 days later, they were already pretty much dead. And so I just tweeted a picture of them and was like, I can't believe these didn't last a week. Like, what's up with that, 1-800-Flowers? And they answered me right away. They said, send us a direct message with your info. And then I had new flowers on my desk within 3 hours.
Now, did they tell you they were going to send? Yeah, did they tell you they were going to send new flowers? Or?
Yeah, they just said, could you tell us the name of the person that ordered them and the town you're in? And if you're in the same location, we can send you new flowers.
That's awesome.
It was
That's
the
amazing.
Easiest interaction ever.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're not going to use UPS. We're going to actually send the flowers.
Yeah.
So
and something
really
like that is something that small businesses can do very, very simply. I mean, it's even
yeah.
harder for a big business to do it. And if they can do it.
But, you know, if you think about it, right, again, it boils down to doing that first thing is listening,
mm-hmm.
right? And then looking at that as an opportunity to, as we talk about all the time, wow your customers, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's like amazing.
I've told so many
yeah.
people. I was going to write 1-800-Flowers off and now.
And we're talking now about it to the millions of people who
are you know, I had a similar experience this summer. I was at a music festival, and Cafe Escapes, the sort of K-Cup people,
mm-hmm.
They're one of the brands that does that, and they had a cool booth there, and I just tweeted that, you know, thought the booth was awesome, and they wrote back to me, and then they DM'd me, and they sent me a free coffee mug just for mentioning them on Twitter, and it's like, I would have never even remembered having seen their booth, probably,
mm-hmm.
even though it was really well done. But now I have a Cafe Express coffee mug in my house, and I buy their stuff, and it's great. And it's not that hard, but it does take effort.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, we talk a lot about Facebook, and there are clearly big differences between Twitter and Facebook. So maybe we can just kind of delineate some of those to let people kind of understand kind of what we're looking at. So, of course, the big one is the first one, which is character limit, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So, you know, with Facebook, you can write as not as much as you want, but much more than you can on Twitter. So it's not as brief, and also the frequency is so much different
mm-hmm.
as well. Where I could post something a couple times a day on Facebook, you don't know who's going to see it necessarily, but on Twitter, anyone who's following you can see what you're posting.
Mm-hmm.
There's no algorithm to get through.
Right, and so the big thing there is that, like, that Twitter news feed is really kind of like a real-time news feed.
Yeah.
So if you post something, people are going to see it. If they're going to see it, they see it at that time, or else they go digging through tweets, but that usually doesn't happen.
I kind of think of looking at Twitter as drinking from a fire hose, because
mm-hmm.
if you've got a lot of people you follow, you're not going to see everything that's going
right.
on
no
on
way.
Twitter.
But you can if you put things into lists, right? If you start
yeah.
managing
yeah,
things in
right.
particular, that's the kind of the
same.
Cool thing. So I guess the other big difference is, right, with Facebook, you need to actually be friends with people in order to, kind of, so there's a mutual following there. Unless
not
you,
as a brand.
Well, not as a brand, that's true.
But you can only like other brands.
Right.
So
you can't really, yeah,
right.
not like
there's
people,
no personal,
it's like brand to brand
right.
or person to page, not page to person.
Right.
Whoa. So basically that means that people can follow you, and you don't necessarily have to follow them back the same way that you can follow people and they don't need to follow you back.
Right, and that's actually what I was just about to say, is it's more, to me at least, it's more of a networking tool than
mm-hmm.
I think Facebook is, because you can reach out to anybody and they can reach
mm-hmm.
out to you without that mutual
mm-hmm.
connection.
But I think when you start using lists, because I use a lot of lists now,
mm-hmm.
where I don't actually follow the people, you know, so,
yeah.
which is kind of a different thing. Like, they don't even know that I'm reading their stuff unless I interact with it. And that kind of changes the equation, too. Because on Facebook, you always know who likes your page. Whether they see it or not is a different issue. But with Twitter, it's a little more, it can be very anonymous. Like, people can read stuff without you even knowing.
Do you want to explain a little bit what lists are?
Sure. So you can basically create a list of people on Twitter or brands on Twitter where you can read their stream without actually following them. So I might look at, like, a list of musicians I like and read all their stuff when I get around to it, and it's sort of pulled out from your mainstream without having to actually follow them, so they're not cluttering my feed unless I want to go look at that.
You can also subscribe to other people's lists, too, that are public, which I think is really great. So if you find someone in your town that has a news of all of your town, maybe you want to follow them, and you're not necessarily have to always look at it, but you can always go through it and maybe retweet that.
Well, that's also a great way to, like, if you're a small business, to really create resources for people who follow you or your customers, right? Because if you, let's say you create a list of, you're working in a local town, and, like, you have some complementary businesses or something like that, and you can say, hey, these are the businesses that I really love, you can follow this list, and it shows all those businesses that also have Twitter accounts. So it's a great way to kind of make yourself more valuable, right, on your Twitter feed.
I think it's a great way to keep track of customers, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, or people who have ever tweeted at you. So, you know, someone, you can keep tabs on the people who have said nice things about, or not so nice things about you, and use that as a way to say, like, I'm going to really check on what my core audience is doing right now, and just go to that list, regardless of how many other people you might follow.
Yeah, and when someone says something nice about you, you can always favorite their tweet, and that way you sort of have one big list of all the nice things people have said about you on Twitter.
Yeah, one of the ways I really like to use lists, too, is I kind of break it into these three buckets of peers, pros, and patrons, which I've mentioned before, whereas peers are the people that are kind of in the same level as you and people that you may trade information with, or complementary businesses, people you might help each other out, that type of thing. Pros, which are the people who kind of you're a level above where your business is, maybe you'd like to, you're aspiring to, people you can make connections with that can help get your business to the next level. And then patrons are obviously the people that do business with you, they're your customers, maybe people on your email list, those type of folks. And you can break them down that way, because there's really different ways you want to interact with those folks, right? And I think Twitter is really great because it is an open network, and it's okay to talk to people where, like, it's a complete stranger or somebody that, you know, might not necessarily know you. It's okay if you're having a conversation. Obviously, you wouldn't want to just be like, you know, strike up a weird thing. But if you comment on something that they've shared or something that they've said, it's a very non-threatening and simple step to kind of get on somebody's radar and actually start that relationship with someone.
It's also a decent way to keep track of your competition.
Mm-hmm.
You could create a competition list of, you know, all your local businesses around you that are somewhat like you, and just see what they're doing and see what kind of promotions they're doing and what's going on.
And you can keep those lists private,
yeah,
too.
Yes.
You can, you know, you don't have to publish all of these lists. So if there's, you know, if you want to keep tabs on your employees, or you want to keep tabs on your competition, or, you know, friends from high school, you know, whatever it is, you can set private lists.
Stalk some people.
Yeah.
Then it can be private.
Yeah, some serious stalking.
All your exes. That's what Josh does, I guess.
So one of the things to consider, too, is I like when I get those weird tones about, what other things? But one of the things, though, to think about is, like, when you're starting, right, do you want, a handle that is your business name? And should you also have a handle that is your personal profile, that's your personal name? And I kind of think, I mean, for me, I really think it boils down to having both, right? Because I think the real value comes in from connecting with customers and things from your business handle, but also being able to, people want to connect with people. So if you're yourself, it's a great networking opportunity for you. Again, peers, pros, and patrons, to really kind of open yourself up to new opportunities. So I think there's...
Yeah, and it's easy to switch between multiple Twitter accounts on a phone, mm-hmm. which is really great. And then if you're using a platform like Hootsuite, it's also easy to monitor more than one handle at the same time.
I think the biggest thing with at least your business page is making sure that you're branding to where your handle is something that people
yeah.
will recognize exactly who you are.
Yeah.
One of the examples I heard actually is if you're, say you're a chef at a restaurant, call it Joe's Steakhouse. If your handle was Joe Steakhouse, they would know who you were. But if you were Chef Joe, they wouldn't understand who you were. So, you know, that's definitely something you want to remember, that from platform to platform, not
mm-hmm.
just on Twitter, people can look at your name and know exactly who
well,
you
the
are.
The description helps, too.
Yeah.
So if you've got employees working for you and they've got the business in the description, people can do a search and find them,
yeah.
too.
Absolutely.
There's also a great opportunity, too, for, like, if you have, like, if let's say someone's doing your tweeting for you, or you're doing it yourself, or people on your team, it's always like use that description to say, hey, these tweets are from these folks, and you can actually link to their actual, you know, Twitter profiles, their personal profiles if you want. But then a lot of times I'll see what I think is a great idea too is like those businesses, when using the business handle, if it's like a personal statement or something like that, they'll just put their initials at the end of the tweet to say like, this is from this person. So that way, because that's the thing I don't like about when you like you follow like a Twitter handle and they're like a business one and they're talking to you, and then you're like, I'm always like, who the hell am I talking to? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to know, like, who's the person? Like,
right.
That way, because it just feels more personal that way, and it just makes more sense other than I'm like, I'm just talking to this company.
But then you can always imagine, like, if you're tweeting with Apple, like, you're talking to,
that's true.
You know, like, someone important instead of, you know,
are you
like
oh boy, Steve is, not now.
I was going to go there, but then I cut myself off. Good self-edit, Dave. But I think, you know, one of the challenges, I think, with tweeting for business is, you know, the balance between self-promotion and not self-promotion. And I think, you know, because I think repetition is way more acceptable on Twitter than it might be on another, on Facebook for certain, because people don't go that far back in their feed.
Yeah.
And I think some self-promotion is okay there. I mean, I think as professionals, a lot of people use Twitter in a self-promoting way. But the balance is really tricky. I mean, do you guys have thoughts on, like, what's the right balance?
I think the biggest thing is how many times you're tweeting a day and then figuring out from there what your percentage is of self-promotion. So to say, you know, you tweet, I don't know, 6 to 9 times a day, that's a lot for a small business, but just in general, I would say 1 to 2 self-promotion a day. Whereas if you're tweeting only 3 times a day, you don't necessarily want to do it once a day just because you're then constantly talking about yourself. So I think it just depends on.
It's a great
how
way
much
to show off your blog content, though.
Absolutely.
If you're a B2B or any kind of blog any kind of business that has a blog.
And that's very true, because on Twitter, especially articles and stuff like that, don't seem as salesy as if you're on Facebook or something.
Absolutely. I think the big thing to recognize too is that if you really want to get the most out of it, I mean, I've noticed this with just my own personal Twitter account. When I was using a lot more, when I was doing my own personal consulting and things like that, the big thing is when you're talking to people, like you really try to actually have conversations with folks. Like if, you know, they're tweeting something or they share something or mention something, comment back and be like, oh, that was really cool, that link that you sent over. Oh, great. Like, because when you do that, then people actually start to pay attention to you, right? So then, because if you're just like sending out the links to your blog and you're just sending out the links to other things, or then you're doing a promotional thing, like they still don't really care. They don't care until that personal contact comes in.
Well, just like any other social network, it's called social for a reason. So you have to have those conversations. And a lot of people do forget. They push and push and push, and they never actually have a conversation.
But it's interesting because like my gut totally agrees with what everyone's saying, and that's sort of the way I approach it. But you do see some brands who I know are very metrics driven, who only tweet their own stuff.
But
and
they're
usually barely
other brands, right? That people actually care about.
Some of them are.
Some of them are, but some of them aren't. And clearly, they wouldn't do it if it didn't work. So it's really interesting because, while emotionally, you want to engage and you want to have all this stuff. Like some people are definitely they don't tweet other people's articles. They don't do a ton of interaction. So I think there's a lot, like, there's no right or wrong way to do it necessarily, but I think you need to know what you're trying to get out of it. If it's about creating those one-to-one connections for your brand, like, make sure you're doing that. If it's about pushing out your content to as many people as possible, maybe it's a different balance.
Well, I think that's the key, right? Is, I mean, like, there's a difference between a small business and a news site. For a news site, of course it's okay to be tweeting articles because that's what you're following it for. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, when like you said, it really depends. And when you get to the smaller business, if it's about, I mean, the key thing really with small business is the power of those relationships that you can create. So I feel like it makes more sense to look at it that way because you're going to get more bang for your buck because you don't have the reach that a larger business may have, you know, or a bigger brand.
When you go on to make that decision whether you're going to, you know, just kind of push your own content or engage with people, I think it's important to think about the audience too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're a small business or a nonprofit, it tends to be more important that you create those personal relationships, that it's not all about me just pushing out that I have a sale this weekend, but more saying, you know, thanks for coming into the store and, you know, thanks for being a great customer. So when you see, you know, the difference in the type of business and how big the business is, it makes a big difference on how they engage with their audience as well.
I think a big thing too why these conversations are so important because there's something I call like the popcorn factor with Twitter, right? Is that, and pretty much all social networks, is that people like to watch. And when you're having these conversations with folks that you may not know, but people are watching those conversations, especially when, I mean, there's some dynamics between how Twitter works and what people can see, but if people are following you in someplace else, people watch those things. And when you're having these conversations, especially when it's with a customer and maybe you're talking about something specific or a new product or something like that, that actually, the curiosity of that may get more people to click through and actually check out your product than if you just said, hey, here's my new product.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes along with customer service, too. If
yeah.
people are watching you and they know, they see that you're responding right away, they're not participating in conversations with you on Twitter,
yep.
but they know you'll help your customers,
yep.
then they're going to come to you.
Listen, all things social, it boils down to we like to do business with people we know, like, and trust. And if people can get to know you and start to see that, oh, I like this guy, I like what this person's doing, or I like what this business is doing, at the end of the day, that's going to make a decision whether or not people decide that your business is right for them. So, I mean, I think that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I agree with everything Dave said.
Dave is awesome.
Dangerous.
I mean, we've been talking a lot about stuff, and I know a lot of this, if you're new to Twitter, might seem like a little like, oh my God, what are they talking about? So we have plenty of resources if you're just getting started that kind of take you through like the first 10 things you should do. We have the social quick starter, so I'll include some links in this post so some of these things will make a little bit more sense when
maybe
you come back and listen to them.
Yeah, maybe,
we got
some,
boot
maybe
camps,
you can
come
yeah,
to
boot camp
come
to and kind of interact with me a little bit and cities all over the country.
So yeah, we'll include links to some of these resources in here. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye now.